Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Today, I want to encourage you how lives can be totally transformed and changed. And if you're ready for the Word today, just give me a big smile. Some of y'all got to work on that. It's easier to preach to people who want to be preached to. And so today, as I'm preaching, I just want you to know, I am a life that has been changed. I'm a life that's been changed by the good news of Jesus. And today, I pray that we can come into agreement in this place, that I'm looking out on an audience of people who would say, me too. I'm a life that has been changed. My prayer for you today, if you've not been changed by the good news of Jesus, that good news is available for you today. Available for you today. And you can have the same testimony. Today what I want to talk about is what's your fix? What's your fix? You know, in life, you've heard this term, I got to get my fix. And you say, well, I don't know if I've ever said. Well, you will understand the more I talk about this. I'm needing some coffee. Anybody ever say that before? Hear mom and dad say it? Maybe. Well, I just need some coffee. Well, what they're saying is I need a fix of coffee. I need something that'll fix me. It'll put me in a place different than where I'm at right now. Boy, here's a term I hear a lot being around a bunch of women in my house. I just need some chocolate. Most of you know, in October, I will be an excited, thrilled, pumped-up grandfather. But right now, being around my daughter, all she talks about is food. In fact, we just talk about eating. She goes, yeah, that sounds good. Everything sounds good to her. And so I know that different people have different fixes, and everybody can understand as we're talking about today that we all want to find our fix. So what is our fix? The fact is, life has many twists and turns, and sometimes our fix is a result of difficult situations or seemingly impossible things, calamity, death, loss of work, struggles in relationships. Many people believe that overwhelming obstacles that you face in life, that those are the reasons why you've been held back. The reasons I'm frustrated is because of what happened in my life, and then you fill in the blank. Here's what happened. And so what we do is we try to find a way to deal with that, and dealing with that is what we would consider our fix. Our fix. I'm here to say that things in life aren't always the reason where you're at. Things in life are not always the reason why you are where you're at. I'm not to say they don't play a part. But circumstances, failures, divorce, sin, situations, death, I mean, I'm not here to say none of those, they don't affect us, but it's important to know that those things do not determine our destiny. They don't determine our destiny. It's how we respond to those things that determine our destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not situations that determine your destiny. It's how you respond to those situations. A failure in business, a failure in marriage, a failure in life, a situation that comes up that you didn't ask for, a health crisis, you name it. It's not the health crisis that gets people. It's how they respond to it. Now, I've heard it said, and you've probably heard this, 10% of life is made up by what happens to you. And 90% of life is made up on how you respond to the 10%. See, 10% is what happens to you, and 90% of life is how you respond to those things. See, now, sometimes that percentage can sway a little bit, and I just want you to see what I'm saying overall. The question today, when you're faced with a crisis, a calamity hits your home, how do you cope with the crisis? Everyone has a coping mechanism. You've probably heard that phrase before. My question today is, what's yours? What is your coping mechanism? See, we develop these. They're habits that we live by, and what life hands us or sometimes throws at us, We have a coping mechanism on how we're going to handle it. A child goes off the deep end. A situation at home is escalating and nobody knows it. You have a coping mechanism. And everybody does. And see, there are ways in which we internal or an external stress comes on us. It's how we manage that in our life. How do we manage it? How we deal with what's going on in our life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Say it like this. It's a way that we fix or seemingly see that it's a fix of what's going on in our life. It's a way where we can get back to handling it again. I just got to be able to get back to handling it. Give me that cup of coffee. A situation happens and life is big and all of a sudden, a big breath. I need some chocolate. I mean, everybody knows what I'm saying. See, there are positive and there are negative coping mechanisms. See, there are positive and there are negative fixes. And you got to know that fixes can either be positive or they can be negative. Now, depending on how you respond to situations or circumstances will determine whether you deal with the long-term effects of those on your life. How are you going to deal with this health crisis in 20 years? Well, it depends on how you deal with it today. See, I've seen people that 20 years ago, something got them and they've never been the same since. Well, what happened is their fix was looked at as it was going to help them and it actually hurt them. There are positive fixes and there are negative fixes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, you got to get this. God has established a way for his people to live a life of victory, a life of blessings, and a life of overcoming based on what happens to you and to me in this world. Things happen. I get that. Understand this about God's fixes, though. God's ways. God's ways and God's fixes. They are, everybody's here today and would say, I realize that God's fixes are positive. Well, they're more than just positive. See, God's way is not harmful. God's way is not addictive. God's way is not destructive. See, God's fix is not costly. God's way is not illegal. It's not ethically or morally wrong. God's way is not selfish. God's fix is not shameful. Here's what God's way is. It's pure, it's positive, it's clean, it's healthy, and it'll lead you into greater freedom and power. That's what God's fix works. God's word and his promises should be the default source of every believer. The default. This is what I default to. So today, I ask again, what is your fix? What is your fix? Everyone in here has a fix established. They have something they reach to or they default to when tensions flare and stress comes on you. And I just don't know what I'm going to do. Church, know this. Your default can change. For those of you that are computer savvy, have you ever defaulted to the wrong printer? In an office establishment, oh man, I just printed that to the wrong place. Well, what happened is you have to go back in there and you have to reset your default. Today, here's my prayer, that what I'm talking about and what I'm teaching, you'll be able to reestablish and refix your default. Because your default may be set to the wrong fix. And today, you can change that. A lot of people, their default is drugs, smoking cigarettes, getting an alcoholic drink, cussing and flying off the handle, pornography, chocolate, food, hobbies, cleaning, fleeing, spending and buying. Come on, ladies. You know what I mean? Ladies are going, come on, men. I got you. I got spending. I'm the man talking, so I'm going to say. Hitting something. Or someone. I mean, really, sleeping, working out, taking a pill. See, your fix may not be my fix, but we all have one that we have defaulted, and that default has been wrong. That default has been wrong. The question for you today, is your fix fixing you? Is your fix fixing you? Is it the fix that God has given you to fix yourself? We got to be careful. The devil has a counterfeit to everything God gives. And today, I applaud you for being in church. We got a room full of people enjoying the benefits of church this morning, being equipped. You're enjoying the fellowship. Man, that worship was awesome, was it not? Great, great worship this morning, being led closer time in the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God, just Him pouring out upon us this morning. Whoo, it was awesome. And here's the cool thing. Thousands all across the country experiencing the same thing. Right now at this exact time, thousands enjoying the word being preached. But know this, there are millions across this country that are not in church this morning. They're not in church. And you know why? Because they had their church last night. They had their church last night. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, they were at a club or a bar. And a club or a bar is the devil's counterfeit to church. You say, well, I don't really understand that. Well, think about it. Going into a club, you have fellowship, just like church. You have fellowship. Everybody, hey, what's going on? I mean, fellowship's just like you walk into the bar or the club and you're fed by the pastor, the bartender. See, he's going to deliver you, minister to you spirits. Y'all going, okay, I know where you're going. But I'm talking truth here this morning. You're filled with spirits when you go in there. But my question is it the fix that the Spirit of God designed for you to experience? See, the devil has a counterfeit to everything God has made. Many believers have developed unhealthy ways to fix their problems and cope and deal with anxiety, worry, fear, depression, stress, confusion, frustration. Some things this morning I'm just going to talk about. If you think today that it would never happen to you, let me just tell you, you're fooling yourself. If you think, well, I would never get my fix on anything but the Word of God. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Talking about some things in our culture that are biggies here in the United States, I want you to know today, I'm not standing up here preaching against a bunch of stuff. I'm just pointing out what's there and available here in our culture. So I want to make sure, as I'm going to talk about some examples of coping mechanisms that we go to in life, you got to understand God wants to fix us, and He doesn't want mechanisms to fix us. God wants to fix us. A biggie in life, prescription medication. A biggie in life. Come on now, I'm just telling you, it's a big one in life. God gives us doctors, and as just a quick frame of understanding where I'm coming from, I'm appreciative and grateful for doctors. Got a bunch of people here to say, that's right, me too. Me too, I'm thankful for doctors. I want you to know, as a disclaimer this morning, I am not against medicine. I am not against medicine. I am thankful for medicine. I take medicine myself. I'm here to make sure that I don't make anyone feel bad because they take any medicines. So you got to know that, as I just throw out the disclaimer this morning. But it's important to understand the addictive nature of human beings. See, it's important that we understand, as people, we are addictive by nature. We are. We're addictive by nature. Stress, pressures, difficulties are all a part of life. How you deal with them will determine your outcome. Please keep that in mind. In our country, the United States of America, you can get a pill for any symptom that you have. You can. You can get a pill for any symptom. It's easy to do here in the United States. All kinds of drugs are available. And I could go through a list of all of them. I mean, and there's hundreds of them that are available that are addictive. Hundreds that are addictive. The pharmaceutical business, I want you to understand today, is not in the business of health and healing. I don't know if anybody knew that or not. But they're not. You need to know that. Their business is disease management and symptom maintenance. Pharmaceutical businesses are in business for disease management and symptom maintenance. They are in the business of selling a product. It's important. We see something on TV every night that we didn't see when we were younger. Come on, if those of you that are over 40, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Beth, you understand what I'm talking about today. See, there. Oh, maybe not you. We went to high school together, so I know how old you are. She's never coming back again. You need to get my sermon from last week on offense. I just want to make sure. You're not going to die from the medicine's ability to treat the symptom in most cases. See, their inability or ability to treat it. What gets us, and we get it continually in this life, is that the medicine over a prolonged time is what gets people. It's the medicine. See, 30, 40 years ago, we didn't see commercials on TV about all the medications. But now you can't watch a segment of commercials without them talking about. 30 years ago, that was never on TV. Now that's all on TV. Do you ever hear what's at the very end of that? And they talk really fast. It's like they move it into, it's like chipmunks talking at the end. And what they do is they go through this long list of all the things that will kill you. If you got to watch for this, liver disease, blah, 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 blah. And it just goes right down this list. But it's going to take care of this one symptom. The one symptom that it's going to take care of, I'm grateful for. I'm concerned about the other 400 that's going to cause problems by taking this one pill. Keep in mind, pharmaceuticals are not in the business of making you well. They're in the business of making money. You got to know this today. In our country, in the past 10 years, the top 11 drug companies in the United States have made $711 billion. Whew. Does that make anybody go, wow? Now, listen to this. In the United States, the number of people that live here make up 5% of the world's population. Did you know that? The people that live in the United States of America make up 5% of the world's population. Now, that's amazing in and of itself. I'm just going, wow, there's that. There seems, I go to Springfield and there's a bunch of people. I think 5% may be right there. You know, I mean, 5% of the world's population live in the United States of America. Yet in the United States of America, we take 75% of the world's medications. That's amazing to me. Why is this important? Because it's a big problem that's been surfacing in our country that 100 years ago we weren't in this place. See, now we have a pill for every single symptom you have, and it can be a trap of the enemy. See, there's a pill to help you fall asleep. There's a pill to help you wake up. There's a pill to help you throughout your day. And if you don't want to take a pill, there's energy drinks in the whole section of the convenience store. Somehow, if I haven't stepped on your toe by the end of this, you're going to be going, I hate this guy. See, he didn't talk to me today. I'm talking to everybody in here. There's a pill for everything that you can imagine. And I want you to know I'm not against medicine. I'm not against anything that is going to help and God is going to use. But you got to know I'm against everything that enslaves and addicts people. I'm against it. See, it replaces God's way of meeting your need and giving you your fix. Hebrews 12:2, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. See, that's who, the word has to be applicable in the default for every believer. When you find yourself in a situation, do you reach for the word or do you reach for a pill? What do you look to meet your need to fix the issue in your life? Here's what I'm just concerned about this. Young people, I see this in our school. I see it all the time. I see young people come in and they say, I need a Tylenol or I need a pill or I need a fix for my headache. Now, here's what you got to know. Our culture has produced that. And as parents, our kids' first reaction is, I need a pill. And as parents, we need to know when a child is coming to us, do we teach them that their answer is a pill? Do we teach them their answer is a pill, or do we say, come over here and let me lay hands on you and let's pray over this right now? Let's pray over this. We're going to seek God first. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. First the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then things are added. Then things are given after that. Then things we'll look at as the addition. But first, come on, church, first the kingdom of God. That's what we've got to reach to first. Alcohol is another big problem. I grew up in an environment where alcohol was used on one side of my family quite a bit. And if you haven't grown up in it, you have no clue how bad it can be. And there are some that never have dealt with it. And I understand with that. See, our world paints a picture that alcohol is cool. It does. They used to paint pictures that smoking was cool. They did. When I was a kid, that was painted as pictures. Smoking's cool. And we finally realized the effects of smoking and said, okay, we can't have ads like that that make smoking look cool. That's why you don't see that anymore. But we still have ads that make alcohol look really cool. It's often used, alcohol is, as a coping mechanism. And it's a fix. And here's what you got to know. It's just as big a fix for people in church as people outside of church. You'd be surprised how many believers make alcohol a daily part of their life. Get off work, a couple drinks to unwind for the day, or at home or on vacation, a little to unwind and just to relax a little bit, make me feel a little bit better. Come on, just knocks a little bit off. It's a fix. That's what it is. It's a fix. Let me say, in the end, I have never seen alcohol benefit any family ever. And then look back and say, man, I tell you, it was because of that alcohol that brought us out of this situation. You don't ever hear that. So in the end, man, that alcohol is going to get me out of this mess I'm in. No, it'll just get you deeper. Statistically speaking, so you can grasp what I'm saying, 86.8% of people 18 or older say they have drank alcohol at some point in their lifetime. 86.8, and that is no different with church statistics. Pew Research will verify it's the same thing in churches out of church. 86.8% of people 18 or older have drank alcohol at some point in their life. 70.7% say it was in the past year, and 56.6% say it was in the last month. Over half of Christians say that they have had alcohol in the past month. More than 10% of U.S. children live with one parent who is an alcoholic. More than 10% of children. This is not a sermon, church. You got to hear me today against substance abuse. You may say, well, it sounded like it. It's a sermon about where you find your fix. It's about where you find your fix. The enemy twists everything God has given. I'm not here to preach a sermon about tobacco use, but I can tell you this. If you're smoking, you need to stop. Smoking causes more deaths each year than HIV, illegal drug use, alcohol use, and motor vehicle injuries combined. If you're smoking, you need to stop. It's deadly. It'll kill you. It's harmful to you. And I'm not sitting here condemning you. I love you and don't want you to die because of tobacco use. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at him and said, "With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible." You can quit. I just can't. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." If you can believe, all things are possible. Mark 10:27, Jesus looked to him and said, "With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible." That means it's possible. Mark 14:36, he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, what I will, but what you will, not what I want." I want CMC members to go to Jesus for their fixes when they're in need in life. Not a cigarette, not alcohol, not a pill. See, God has made a way for you to live blessed. Are you hearing this? God's made a way for you to live blessed. He wants to be your fix, church. And in his way, it won't enslave you. It won't addict you. It won't trap you. It won't kill you. It won't hurt you. His fix will not make you penniless and broke. His fix will uplift you. It'll bring you to a place you were never at before. And it'll be a good place, not a bad place. See, we got to understand, I can be things that I'm not right now through the Lord Jesus Christ. Your fix doesn't have to be illegal. It don't have to be looked at as morally or ethically wrong. Your fix could be shocking, and I understand that everybody's going to get something today. Your fix could be shopping. I get that. And many people's are. Your fix could be working out. I've never had that problem. But yours could be. See, your fix could be your next gadget or in video games or news or social media or your children or your hobby. We aren't talking about that one, but I'm just mentioning it. The list could go on and on. See, we've already mentioned a bunch of it, and I'm taking anything that is a fix other than the Lord and saying, look out. Look out. I want to encourage you today, though, and not condemn you. John 14:1. That's not my heart to condemn anyone. John 14:1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Philippians 4:6-9. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Let's just read this together today. I'll read it out loud. You read it in your mind, but hear what I'm saying. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You know what that's saying right now? Because worry comes on us. It does. Worry comes on us. The Bible says don't worry about anything. Well, that's easy for the Bible to say, but not me. Think about it. I worry about things. And they start worry. The Bible says don't worry about anything. And let me give you your fix as to how you don't have to worry. When it starts coming on, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Come on, church, repeat that. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what's honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. People want peace so bad. They want peace so bad. But they don't do it God's way, and peace just continues to elude them every day. I want peace so bad, so they think this will fix this problem. Let me just tell you, when this is not God, it will not fix your problem. This will fix my problem. God's the only one to fix your problem. Counterfeit things continue to be what you look for as a fix when God's not what you're looking for. God designed us, he created us, and he knows what we need to fix us. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear. Jeremiah 32:27. I am the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Come on, church. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. Many people wanting to get needs met, and they line up and standing waiting for this need to get met at the concert, at the bar, at the, you just name it. And if they could just see it, that will never fix you. Only God will. That vacation, it will not fix you, only God will. I used to be so addicted to the next hobby. I'd leave one hobby to go to the next. One hobby, and that's just my personal testimony. I mean, anything that would happen, and all I had to do to get my fix is to go hit that little white ball. All across the golf course, just hit that ball. And you say, well, what's wrong with golf? Nothing, but it was my fix. There's a lot wrong with it. See, my fix wasn't God. It was a little white ball, and that's all I do is go hit that white ball. And I could play 36 holes in one day and still not get my fix. I just needed more and more. The next morning, I'd set my tee time for the next day, joined a country club, and continued to go every day because, well, I have to get my money's worth out of this amount that I'm paying every month. So my fix was going to the country club and going to the country club and just continuing to hit this little white ball. What I'm telling you is I finally realized that was never going to fix me. It was never going to fix my marriage. In fact, my marriage kept getting worse and worse and worse. Just know this, if your fix is not God, it'll just keep getting worse and worse and worse. It may take time, but it will. This year, we're talking about making Jesus Lord of our lives. Today, will you allow God to be your default? Come on, let God fix this thing. I said there are some good fixes, and the good fix is only God. Now, there's nothing wrong with a cup of coffee in the morning, but four pots is a little ridiculous. Come on, well, Pastor, how do I do this? I mean, I appreciate you saying that. Let me give you some avenues that will allow you to make God your fix. The first one is put yourself in the Word. Put your God's Word. God's Word will give you fixes you didn't even know you had because you weren't in it to get them. God's Word. The second one is podcast. Podcast. Download podcast. You may be saying, I don't know how. I would love to give you just a gentleman in this church that plays the drums here, is a man of God, and I'm telling you, I have watched him make his fix on the Word of God through listening to podcasts, and there's not a Sunday that goes by that Casey McGinnis doesn't come up and say, here's what God did this week. And all he's telling me every week is his fix, and I've watched that fix make him move to a new area in life. He defaulted to the Word of God, and that's all. He gets in the car and drives daily. I mean, his job allows him to continue to listen. Well, my job don't allow you. Okay, well, when are you allowed to listen to it? See, get your fix. Ben Garby years ago, us driving across the country, not together, but he's in a truck and I'm in a bus, and we call each other and we talk about what we were listening to. What we would do is we would say, here's my fix, and iron sharpens iron. We're on the same page, and we build each other up. And man, I've watched him getting his fix in the right place. 10 years ago, he wasn't in the place that he's at today. Blessed. God's done amazing. See, get the podcast. You say, I have a dumb phone. Get a smartphone. Well, I don't know how to download the podcast. I don't know how to do that. How many young people is in this room this morning? That find one of them. I'm telling you, they can help you. Really, now you can just get someone under 30 and they can figure it out. They just got it going on. They know how to make this thing work. And so get them. If you say, I don't even know what a podcast is, we have CDs on the back table. But know this, in the next few years, you're going to have to figure it out because the new vehicles coming out don't even have CD players. Am I right, Chico? Get you a new truck and it don't even have a CD player. I said, I'd take it back. You got to have podcasts. He learned how to use his phone. So the second thing is podcast. Get them in you. Number three, worship music. Worship music. There's some awesome songs out there that can bring you in the presence of God if you'll go there with them. See, you can get several stations right here in our little small area. 88.3 will be a real resemblance of what we do here on stage. 99.5 for all the young people who like it just a little tougher. I don't even have that one saved on my dial. Mine's 89.1. Take you in the presence of God now. So you got to decide what to listen to, but it'll take you into God's presence if you'll allow it. But we don't even listen to the music that takes us into God's presence. We're going to listen to something that's going to take us away. Don't get your fix on country music. Don't get your fix. I can't believe you're preaching against it. All I'm saying is don't make it your fix. Don't make it your fix. Number four, get with a friend and pray. A spouse. Someone that you're close to. Someone that can hold you accountable. Let that be a fix for you. Get with your spouse and pray through things. Number five, get in your prayer closet. You know, if you haven't watched the movie War Room, you might want to. There's some great practical things there that we need to get a hold of. Press into God, church. Spend time with Him. Spend time with the Lord. Pray and get a hold of what God has for you. Paul says, pray without ceasing, pray continually. And I've got a hold of that in my life. I just walk through my day talking to God. I'm going into this situation and I know that I'm not going in alone. There's a boldness that can come for you knowing that God is not your co-pilot, He's your pilot. He's the one going before me. And see, knowing that, I can walk in a room. Well, how can you do that? The Holy Spirit empowers me. Praying, spending time with. He's revealing truth. He's comforting me in situations. You know, when you start walking daily with the Lord, your go-to place for getting fixed starts being the Lord. It does. God's the way it works. It works. I've seen it. Just because we're preaching and hearing a good word, you've got to know today, church on Sunday mornings cannot be your fix, and it won't be. Church won't be your fix. Now, you've got to be in church, and hopefully today I've empowered you. I've encouraged you. Hopefully today that me as pastor, as a preacher up here, what I have done is I have equipped you to go out and do the work of the ministry, as Ephesians 4 talks about.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.